The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. As we began to see yesterday, Satan often mounts his strongest attacks as the finish line is in view. One of his most dangerous tactics is the temptation to compromise. In this chapter, we've begun to see how the enemies of the kingdom of God are watching the work of the kingdom and looking for openings. And in this case, they began to tempt Nehemiah to meet with them and to compromise. But Nehemiah knew there's no basis for cooperation between the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of men. Join us today as we see how Nehemiah resisted the persistent temptations to compromise the work of the kingdom of God.
O Lord my God, I'm
See, Nehemiah was wise to their secret. He said, remember in the end of verse 2, but they thought to do me mischief. See, this is not one of the things we have to be wise about. He says in the book of 1 Peter, I believe it is, over there about the 5th chapter, he says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh thee of the hope that lieth within you. That's evangelism. That's how evangelism works. That's true evangelism. You know, I heard a preacher say one time that true evangelism is just one hobo telling another hobo where to find something to eat. And that's pretty good, isn't it? That's kind of what we do here. We're not here trying to save people for eternal heaven. We couldn't save ourselves for eternal heaven. We need help. We needed God to do that. So why would we be thinking we could help somebody else? But what we can do is we can help others who are struggling out there who have been saved for eternal heaven, but maybe haven't heard the truth of God's merciful, glorious, sovereign grace, the true gospel, the good news. They haven't heard it. We can share it with them and say, hey, come on down here to Zion Primitive Baptist Church or to Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church or Blooming Grove Primitive Baptist Church. Come on down here. And you can get something to feed upon spiritually. It'll help you grow. See, that's evangelism. See, when someone comes to us with a sincere desire to know why we're so joyful, why we're so satisfied with the message we hear at church, we ought to be willing and ready and able to give them an answer. But see, this isn't that kind of inquiry here. This is someone who has proved themselves to be a staunch enemy of the truths of God's Word. Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, from the very beginning. You remember what it said back over in the end of chapter 2? It says, when Sanballat, verse 19, the Horonite, and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn, and they despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? You see, he's bringing out, they're bringing out their forces against the kingdom of God. And back in verse 10, it says, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. I know Brother Tim's experienced this. Maybe Brother Buddy has, or Brother John Morgan. I have, but not to as great of an extent as I know Brother Tim has. But there have been times when the kingdom of God began to grow at Bethlehem, when there were some who were preachers, who were moved. I don't know if it was jealousy or envy or what it might be, but moved to take steps to try to stop that and to tear down that work. And I want to say to you, I've experienced it here to some extent. If you are doing the work of God, you will experience it at some point. I know Brother Buddy and Blooming Grove and other churches, you will experience that, an effort to stop the kingdom of God, the work of the kingdom of God from proceeding. And this way is just to come down and meet with us. But notice what Nehemiah said. First of all, he knew that they thought to do me mischief. He knew they were lying about this and really wanted to kill him. But here especially, this is probably the most important thing we can take from this as children of God who are laboring in the kingdom, trying to do the work of the kingdom. He said he sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Beloved, Nehemiah knew how great the work was that he was doing. He understood that there might be economic upturns and policies that needed to be modified in the kingdom. He knew there might even be wars going on elsewhere in the land of Persia and in the Middle East. He understood that there were probably some very important things happening in the secular world that day, in that time. But he understood that the most important thing that he had to do in his life was the work of the kingdom of God. Child of God, we need to remember that. I need to go to work. I have to get up and go to work. You have to go. If you're not retired, you have to still get up and go to work. And if you are retired, there's many things you still have to do. I talked to somebody one time, said they just didn't realize how little time they had. After they got retired, they still couldn't get anything done. But Beloved, there's some important things we do in life. Family's important. Work is important. Friends are important. But there's nothing so important as the work of the kingdom of God. And the enemies of God will hinder it. And you know, one of the most basic things you can do and must and should do in the work of the kingdom, and that is to be in the kingdom of God. Just attendance of church, that's one of the most significant things you can do. And think about how many ways the devil and the world will get in the way of that. How many times, how many ways, how many tricks, how easy it is to be discouraged from coming to the church of God. Nehemiah said, I am doing a great work. I didn't know Tim was going to be here tonight, but I was going to use him in this example anyway, though. So I'm really glad to use it with him here. But it's actually some very important advice he gave me. Over in Galatians chapter 1, I remember in 2007, before I came to the Primitive Baptists, when I was among the independent missionary Baptists that believed the same truths we believe here in this part of the country. And I knew the Lord was dealing with me to preach. And then later on, when I could tell the Lord was dealing with me to come to Zion, in both instances, my brother, who'd been preaching for a long time, referred me to this passage. And I want you to listen to it. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15. Now, this is Paul here. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, that's his natural birth and his new birth, okay? When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. This was a call into the ministry. And let me say to you young men out there, and you preachers that are already ordained here, you know what I'm talking about. If you're ever called to preach, that is the greatest work that a man can be called to in this life. You can be president of the United States. That's a great work. You can be a chief justice of the United States Supreme Court. That's a great work. You can be king of England. That's a great work. But there is no greater calling than the calling into the ministry. I'm thankful to get to work in the legal system. I'm thankful to have been an attorney, to be a prosecutor, to be a judge. I'm thankful for that. There'll be a day, though, when I will not be an attorney or a prosecutor or a judge anymore. I will be retired. I will be, you know, if the Lord lets me live through into retirement, I'll be done with that. There will never come a time when I will not be a called preacher of God. There'll never be a time when that work will end. As I heard Elder Sam Bryant say one time about the retirement plan for Primitive Baptist preachers, he said, it's out of this world. Praise God, it's out of this world, right? I saw an old preacher, Tim knows what I'm talking about. We were down at, I believe it was the Florida Fellowship, but it was some meeting. It may not have been there. He was 100 years old, and he was up there trying to preach, and he did preach. He couldn't stay up there long. He didn't have the ability to stand in the pulpit that long. But that man had never, he never retired. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. He never retired because there is no relief. There is no retirement plan in this life for that calling. And here Paul says, God called me that I might preach him among the heathen. And notice what he said. He didn't say, immediately I applied to the seminary. Immediately I went down and talked it over with my buddies and thought, is it a good idea? What do you think? What do you think about this? No, he said, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went unto Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. And he goes on to talk about what he did in his ministry from that point forward. But notice what it says. This doesn't mean that Paul wouldn't listen to anybody. That's not what he's saying. As a matter of fact, if you're a young preacher here tonight, or the Lord ever calls you into the ministry, you better listen to the older preachers. You better listen to the ones that have been before you. You better pay attention to what they say. You need a father in the ministry, okay? You need multiple fathers in the ministry. But ultimately, you're not to confer with flesh and blood. In other words, we all probably did this. I even went to my dear wife. I said, what do you think? You know, I went to Tim, what do you think? What do you think, brother? You know, different ones. And Tim reminded me, he said, listen, When God calls you into the ministry, you don't have to confer with flesh and blood. You just go and you preach and you follow the Lord. You see, now that's my point about that is that like Nehemiah, the work is a great work. Now, that doesn't just apply to preachers. If the Lord is leading, you know, you may not, the majority of the people here tonight are not preachers, okay? And you ladies will never be preachers, okay? I get that. There might be, the Lord might, don't think the Lord might not call some of you men to preach, okay? He can do that at a young age or an old age. But if the Lord is leading you to a church, if you've found the kingdom of God, you found the place where the truth is preached, you found the place where God is honored through the truth of His word, where the real gospel, the true gospel, that Christ paid it all, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. God-honoring gospel, that God-honoring true gospel, if you found that, then don't go out here and confer with flesh and blood and say, you know, you reckon I ought to join that church? Listen, if you found it, you ought to join it. You ought to be. If you've never been baptized, you ought to be baptized. You ought to be baptized in a true church of God. He said, I'm doing a great work. I don't need to come down. I don't need for the work to stop. When you're doing the great work of God, you don't need to be distracted by worldly counselors. I know in three places in Proverbs, God said through His writer, He said, in the multitude of counselors there is safety. But He's talking about godly counselors who are going to advise you according to the Word of God. But when you are preaching the Word, when you are in the Spirit, when you are have found the place where the Word is preached and the truth is preached, and it's the place where the great work of God is being done, you don't need to be distracted by anybody. Don't confer with flesh and blood. He knew here he couldn't allow himself to be distracted and detoured from the work that God had called him to do. This was the most important work of his life. How could he not do it with his might? Now, meeting somebody halfway sounds good. But I want to say to you, beloved, you got to be very careful with compromise. Because compromise is like a dam breaking. Once it starts, it's hard to stop it. It doesn't take much for that little stream of error to start flowing. And the next thing you know, it's wallowed out a little bigger hole. And the next thing you know, the stream has become more like a fire hydrant. And then the next thing you know, it's a river destroying the dam. And think, I'm sure, you know, it doesn't tell us this exactly here, but I'm sure this is part of Nehemiah's calculus in his mind. What basis was there for cooperation here? These were declared enemies. The Jews had nothing in common with Sanballat and his gang. They were out to destroy them. What basis was there for compromise? You know, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, he says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. And what he's saying there is our saying would be, if you lay down with dogs, you're going to get up with fleas, right? Evil communications corrupt good manners. In other words, you think you go out here and hang out, and we use this often in this way, you hang out with the wicked people of the world, they're going to rub off on you more than you're going to rub off on them. But even more importantly, to look at that section over there in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, it's not really talking about moral compromise. It's talking about doctrinal compromise. It's these people over there in 1 Corinthians 15, what was Paul dealing with? He was dealing with the theological error that there was no resurrection. He was dealing with a theological doctrinal problem. He said, don't hang out with people that are preaching error. Don't hang out with people that are preaching the wrong thing that's not true, that doesn't go along with the Word of God. Don't compromise with them. There is no basis for compromise and cooperation between the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of this world. God's people are different from the people of this world, and they must be separate in every way. Now, as we close, let me just point you to verse 4. He said in verse 3, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Now, let me just, before we move off of that, say this. When you leave the kingdom of God to go compromise with the world, maybe the whole work of the church doesn't cease, but your work in the church ceases. Your work, you know, he tells us we're lively stones, built up to a holy habitation. You know, if you take too many stones out, the habitation falls, right? If you take yourself out of the kingdom, you're that lively stone, then your place is missing, and the work that you were contributing to ceases. But now look at verse 4 as we close. Yet they sent unto me 4 times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Notice the persistence of the temptation to compromise. I like to, it's like a video game. You know, you've ever played those video games? There's this video game that me and Tim liked, The Legend of Zelda. You know, it was this long video game where you were fighting with swords and monsters and all that. And it would go on and on. I remember when I was in my late teens, early 20s, we had this video game system, and I'd play that every day. And I finally, after months, I beat it. You know, I finally won. Okay. And I thought, praise the Lord, I beat it. You know what the game did? It reset. It reset, and you had to go back and start all over. Okay. Here's the point. Compromise, the temptation to compromise, is not something you beat once and it's over. They kept coming back. Don't think you can beat it once and then you're done. You have to fight every day against the temptation to compromise. But Nehemiah was steadfast. Nehemiah was staunch in his opposition. He did not listen to the enemy's lies, and he refused to be influenced by their repeated offers. And here's an important point to remember, you young folks and you older folks, but especially you young folks. If it was wrong the first time, it'll be wrong every time. It'll be wrong every time. You know, it's not like they come and say, hey, how about compromising with me? No, I'm not going to. Well, how about now? No, I'm not going to. Well, I really, really want you to now. Oh, you really, really want me to? Okay, well, I'll compromise this time. No, it's always wrong, you see. He was firm. He was consistent. He didn't put his finger up into the air to see which way the wind was blowing. You know, most politicians in our day look at the polls to see how to vote, whether it's abortion, same-sex marriage, gambling. It doesn't matter what the issue is. Beloved, wrong is wrong no matter how many people call it right. You cannot vote wrong into right. And here we see a man who, in the midst of the great work of the kingdom of God, was steadfast and true. Now, the lesson for us is that here at Zion Church, or whatever church you're a part of, we need to be steadfast and true. And, you know, we could compromise. We could change the doctrine just a little bit. It wouldn't take much. And we'd probably have a lot more people here on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights. We could probably, you know, just stop emphasizing some of the things that we emphasize from the Word of God, and it would be a lot more palatable to the world. People wouldn't look at us funny. They'd say, oh, they're just like us. But I want to say, if people are out there saying you as Primitive Baptists are just like them, as far as their churches go and as far as the teachings out there, then something's wrong. I'm not talking about being different just to be different, but I'm talking about standing true to the Word of God and continuing to be steadfast on the work of God as we refuse to compromise with the world. Nehemiah is such a great example of that, and I hope that we can be as staunch and true as he was.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.